Josephine, welcome back to another edition of the Loud from Maddie Hardenstam podcast. In the second part of our Champions League final preview from the time of recording, less than 24 hours' time, the Blues will walk past the grandest trophy in club football inside the Estádio do Dragão in Portugal Saturday evening, looking for the club's second European crown. I'm excited to be joined by the great Jay McIntosh once again on the podcast to preview the grandest fixture on the club calendar. Jay, it's been a while since we've been able to talk. It's great to see your face once again because you're doing some really good work content wise. How are you feeling before the big game, man? It's less than 24 hours to kick off.
Yeah, I'm calm. I'm honestly calm. Like, I'm not nervous at all. I know sort of you're a young guy as well. So were you supporting Chelsea when they won the first Champions League? Were you involved in the club back then? Because I don't know how old how old you are. So.
Yeah, I was 7 years old. Yeah, actually, exactly. I wasn't even seven yet. So, yeah, no.
Yeah, that's wild. so, yeah, I was 15 when we won that. So, it's I'm less nervous because there was a need at that time, a real need. We'd been through sort of 8 years of being at the top and just dipping in and out, and we were coming to the end of the cycle, and it was very much a sort of now or never journey back then, whereas it's not been as difficult this time, which is bizarre. But yeah, I'm not nervous. I'm pretty excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to after it a few days where we can all have a break from content, because you know, doing all the stuff that we're doing is busy time right now. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What about yourself?
Kind of like you, I'm not too nervous going into tomorrow. I know there's, and rightly so, I mean, it's a humongous game for the club, but like, I feel like I'll probably be more nervous come 7 p.m. UK time tomorrow. I think that's when my nerves will probably start to kick in. But right now, I'm pretty calm, pretty relaxed, seeing the team training. There's no injuries, which is a really good sign. Thomas Tuchel has the whole squad at his hands, so I think that's a really good thing going into tomorrow, especially since Chelsea's had history with suspensions, with injuries, and in Champions League finals in the past. So it's a huge boost for Thomas Tuchel. Edouard Mendy's back fit, N'Golo Kante's back fit, something that we didn't really get to talk to about when I was interviewing with Eunice. But first of all, Jay, since we haven't talked, I think it was since the end of December, this Champions League run, this Champions League season so far this year for Chelsea, two managers, of course, two completely different defenses, it seems. Like, even though under Frank, our defense was pretty solid under recollection in the Champions League, I'm pretty sure that we held Sevilla to a clean sheet both times we played them. Krasnodar, I believe, as well. So we had a pretty good group stage with Frank, but of course, the new manager has come in and just taken it to new heights, right? Attacking-wise, defensive-wise, mentality-wise, aggressiveness-wise. So what are your thoughts on this bonkers season, first of all? The Premier League's done now, thank God. And then also the Champions League. This season has just been absolutely bonkers, playing every 3 or 4 days. But this team has fought through adversity, and they've gotten to this point. They've had to go through the likes of Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, FC Porto, and an Itro venue. The season's been absolutely bonkers at the fans, of course. So what are your thoughts on this team finally getting to the pinnacle into this game? Because it's one more win for the team, and they have their second European crown.
Yeah, man, the season's been a real tough one for me. I've sort of fallen out of love, and you know, coming back into it with football in general and Chelsea as a whole. Like, I've been a Chelsea fan since the day I was born, so you know, 1997, and growing up with the number 8 on the back of my top, Frank Lampard, always having him as manager, it's a special thing, right? And you know, I know Chelsea is a sort of anti-sentimentality club at the best of times, really. And having Frank back was something that myself and a lot of fans sort of the same age, slightly older, slightly younger, really sort of warmed to. And unfortunately, throughout this season, it wasn't working. And that was a real shame. And then obviously we had the ESL also, which, I mean, I was fully, fully prepared to not follow the club if they went into it. Genuinely, I would have gone and just not supported them. Even now, I'm not going to be buying anything from the club because of it. I know it's quite strong. A lot of people don't agree with that, but that's the way I'm going to do things. And then Tuchel comes in, and it's amazing what results on the pitch can do to things off the pitch and ease things and make people not forget, but just move forward. And the football's helped a lot of people out who have been struggling in lockdown. It's given them something to be happy about. And, you know, even it was very Chelsea on the final day of the season to scrape in top four, as is customary the Chelsea way. They like to make it much harder for themselves than they should. Disappointing FA Cup. I thought really that was the one. That would have been an absolute beauty to win that, because what that club, what that cup means to English football and the Premier League and Chelsea as well, to the young players, it would have meant the world. But yeah, we're here in the Champions League final, comfortably got here as well. It's not really been too much of an issue. And I'm pretty excited. It's good stuff. I'm just sort of, I think having to, I work with football. So I'm now looking at it sort of a bit more academically, I guess, a little step back for now anyway. I know when the game's on, I'll be fully immersed. I mean, I had the pleasure of getting sent some tickets to go to watch the first game back at Stamford Bridge this season. Mm. And that was a wonderful experience. So when the game's on, it's different, but now I'm just making sure that all the content gets out there. Got an amazing team at Chelsea Social doing whatever. And I'm just sort of, I'm just relaxed, man. I'm relaxed. Mm. It's been nice. We've got a top four. That's all that matters. There's a lot of things to fix and to change in terms of the club, in my opinion. But yeah, winning the Champions League makes everything a bit better, doesn't it?
I think we're going to start there too, because before we talk about the game, dive a little bit deeper into what's going to go down tomorrow evening. Just talk about a little bit further that experience getting back to the Bridge, because we've seen over the past 2 weeks, right, the final day of the Premier League season, a little bit before that when you were at the Leicester game, just the atmosphere and how it's changed the players' performance on the pitch. And we saw it with a bunch of teams this year at the back end of their season. We saw with Villa on Sunday. So talk about that experience getting back to the Bridge real quick before we get into the final game, but also just how good it felt to be able to see your mates again, go back to the Bridge, have a pint, and just be able to ruin the team that you love again. And it seems like you guys had a pretty big effect on the team.
Yeah. Shout out to Rob Prattley. Shout out to the guys over at 3UK for sending myself and Jam tickets. Big up Dammy. I met Dammy. I was chilling with Dammy that day. Obviously, he's been on here. Big up Simon Phillips as well, because we went to the pub with Simon Phillips and were there for met him and his cousin. It was lovely. And after the game as well, we were hanging out a bit. Yeah, it was a really strange sort of experience. The players really reacted well to the fans being back, which fills me with confidence for next season. You know, I think fandom's going to show why it's so important next season, and we're going to see a lot of things come back that perhaps we've missed. Certain things perhaps you don't want to see as much, you know, on the abuse side, but also you're going to see Liverpool come back strong, because I live in this beautiful city now. I live in Liverpool now, and it's when the fans are going for it, they're pretty hard to stop. They're an amazing bunch, so it's going to be really interesting. It was a wonderful day. It was lovely to see everyone, lovely to meet new people, see new faces and see Chelsea get over the line in what was probably the most important Premier League game of the season, it turned out to be. So yeah, it was a beautiful experience, mate.
That's great to hear how much fun you had in the day, and you could hear the excitement through the television of the fans, the players. You see the energy that they had when you guys were cheering for them. It was just a great experience for you, and I'm sure, and like you talked about, but also for us at home, just seeing how much the players picked up to the fans' voices. And I'm looking forward to seeing how much of a difference. I think, what is it? Is it 6,000 Chelsea fans in Portugal that are going to be at the stadium? I think it should be more, honestly. I think UEFA probably picking it up too much tickets from that, but that's another day for another topic. But it's going to be great to see Chelsea fans at the Champions League final, because just 1 year, I mean, it wasn't even a year ago today that this Champions League final of 2020 had no fans in it. Just didn't have the same glitz, didn't have the same glamour to it. Now, though, let's get into, I want to talk a little bit about the managers, Jay, because I think something that we didn't really cover on the podcast with Eunice a couple of days ago was this manager battle and was the storyline between Thomas Tuchel and Pep Guardiola, because they go way back. And it was interesting to hear Thomas Tuchel's quotes. I think it was on Saturday Social with Sky Sports the other day, talking about his relationship with Pep Guardiola and how it really goes back, I'm pretty sure to his days, even in mains and how they went out to lunch together, they talked to each other about tactics, et cetera. So the storyline of all storylines, Thomas Tuchel versus Pep Guardiola, two historically great managers, but Thomas Tuchel's looking for that Champions League title, which Pep Guardiola has an upper hand on him. What are your thoughts on this storyline going into the game? Because they have a relationship in the past. We've seen a lot of Manchester City in the past month, and it's going to be something that a lot of fans are talking about as a pretty big theme and pretty big storyline heading into tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Pep recognized Tuchel, I guess, as a tactically astute guy when Tuchel was at Mainz. And from there, you know, it's quite easy to see that Tuchel was an outstanding tactician, and Pep's obviously kept an eye on what's been going on, because, you know, being at the top of the game means you have to keep an eye and understanding for the people that are coming after you. So, you know, that's cool. But I really do believe that this game is full of narrative, actually, a lot more so than perhaps people recognize and give it credit for. And the narrative extends beyond beyond a sort of one-dimensional way of looking at it, whether it be, you know, typically you'll have, say you have an El Clasico final, and it's either Ronaldo versus Messi or the typical Barca versus Real, they don't like each other. Whereas actually with this Chelsea-Man City game, the narrative is layered to an extent that you rarely see in Champions League finals. So you've obviously got Pep, who's looking for a first Champions League without Messi. You've got Tuchel, who's been there before and lost it and got himself back the season after with a different team. You then have the significance this wing can have on the youth coming through, both for English football and for those clubs. So you have obviously Foden and a couple of the younger guys over City, and then obviously at Chelsea, the youngsters need no introduction. So what this would mean for their career is massive. That's another huge, you know, narrative line there. And then you take it another step further. You have Kante is different because he has won a World Cup, which is always going to trump any other trophy. But, you know, Kante does still somewhat apply. You've got Kante, Aguero, Fernandinho, Azpilicueta, Thiago Silva, all players that are coming towards the end of their careers that have never won a Champions League, and all of them deserve it for the quality they've put out in the last 10, 15 years. And then obviously you've got Edouard Mendy coming sort of through his struggles. They've been well documented. And it makes for a very, very interesting final in terms of the way that these various football narratives are going to interlink and entwine, and it's going to be tragedy for some and it's going to be real beauty for others. So, you know, it's good stuff. De Bruyne, obviously, he deserves a Champions League as well.
I like the point that you make about the fans, and going back to the Barcelona Real Madrid point that you make, I think both of the groups of fans from both Manchester City and Chelsea respect one another's accomplishments over the past decade, because we've been by far the best teams in English football.
Yeah, but there's also a mutual similarity in the way that the clubs have sort of mirrored one another. Just Chelsea, perhaps between 2004 and 2012 to 15, and City between 2012 to now, how those periods of dominance almost completely mirror each other. Loads of Premier Leagues, loads of domestic cups, top team, best players in the world, best managers in the world at the time. Yeah. And there's that sort of mutual understanding that we're sort of clubs operating in the same sphere of sort of new money and new gen, and we're sort of big enough now to be a historical club in a sense, but we're not, like, you know, it's not Manchester City, Liverpool, who don't respect each other. Well, they do respect each other, but it's fierce, whereas it seems more of a, I don't want to say this because it's going to sound bad, but more of a mutual respect and understanding between the projects and the similarities that they encompass in the Chelsea Man City game.
I read a great article, I think it was yesterday, from the Times. They put out, from actually New York based Times, it was a Manchester reporter, but talking about the two clubs and how this game and how both of these teams are in this final really symbolizes somewhat of the effects of the pandemic, but also the future of club football and how it's no longer dominated by the likes of AC Milan, Liverpool, Juventus year in and year out. And you have these new powers that have come out of the pandemic stronger than any other club, and how this final is going to push both teams, win or lose, forward into dominating the next 5 or so years in club football. So I think that was really interesting article. He'll go read it if you have some time, because it's greatly read up at the New York Times. Well, let's get into, Jay, some of the tactical analysis of this game, because of course every Champions League final every Champions League final has a little sense of taste tactically wise. Last year, 2 years ago, I remember Harry Kane, of course, injury wise, should he start, should he not start? Luckily for Chelsea, they don't have that issue. But tactically wise, going into this game, because you do have 5 substitutes in the starting lineup, maybe that isn't as important as it used to be, just because you have those substitutes that you can put on the from the bench. So what are your thoughts going into this game on how Chelsea should set up tactically wise and how they could exploit Manchester's weaknesses? Because City don't have many weaknesses, but there are some that we exploited in the past 2 wins against them. So how do you think Thomas Tuchel will attack Pep Guardiola's side on Saturday? But also, when City have the ball, which they will have a lot of, I'm pretty sure, in the first 60 or 70 minutes of the game, how are Chelsea going to be able to sit back, defend? I mean, they've been really good at it, but how are they going to defend all the pressure that City are going to probably push on us from the first 45 or so minutes?
Yeah, so typically, if you look at the way Tuchel and his Chelsea team operate and defend, they're very keen on using the midfielder, usually Kante, and the wing backs, and then you see Rudiger on the left push it, Aspi on the right push it. They then push players out to wide spaces, then try and receive the ball, recycle it in midfield and pass it through. And that creates a space, because then you've opened a gap, essentially, because you've parted the City midfield by dragging them and pressuring them into either side. And then you make that space through, and then you allow that front three to be completely fluid in the way they attack, the way they, you know, pass the ball, and the way they make runs. And that's why it's quite difficult, and hence why we so competently beat Madrid and Atletico at the same time. Because you push them into spaces where they have limited options. They have to go up and down the line or risk going in midfield where the ball can be recycled by Chelsea players. And that's exactly how Tuchel's going to play. You know, look at how he played against Real Madrid, and that's what I expect to see. As for Manchester City, I anticipate they're not going to go system for system, because that's... Yeah. Perhaps not the smartest move for Guardiola, as, you know, he's very good at his own system. So he might as well stick to what he knows, because he has a tendency to be the free jazz tinker man and overplay it and overdo something. But the one way to get at City is to attack the space in behind the fullbacks, as has always been the case with Pep Guardiola there, regardless of the personnel. And that's why players like Timo Werner are going to be really important, because they're able to exploit that space, and Mace as well, obviously. So that's how I expect Tuchel to match up. City are going to keep the ball. They're going to knock things around. They're going to try and pass their way through. They're comfortable shooting from distance as well. So they definitely need to be aware of that. But, you know, as long as the Chelsea players have confidence in their system, in their ability and their teammates, it really will be an even game. It's not, unless City score in the first 10-15, in which it's going to be not good. But yeah, I imagine it'd be relatively even, and we'll see sort of similar performances to the ones we saw against Real Madrid, Atletico, and then obviously City in the last month. Mm.
I think these two teams clash in pretty beautiful ways when you watch them play soccer, is because their playing styles, but also the abilities and the techniques of both, especially the midfields, are somewhat similar, but at the same time, they have a lot of things that contrast the two. So I think the midfield battle in this game is going to be, of course, the make or break situation for both Manchester City and Chelsea, because I think it's going to be important to control possession in this game. And I think Chelsea might have to accept that they're not going to have the majority of possession, especially in the first 10-15 minutes. It's just important for them to not concede before the 30-minute mark, you know, because then both Chelsea and City have conceded just 4 goals in the season's UEFA Champions League, showing just how great these defenses have been. The first time both teams competing in the final have conceded 4 or fewer goals on their way to reaching the showpiece event since 2005-2006, when Arsenal conceded 2 and Barcelona 4 before meeting in that season's final. City have won 11 UEFA Champions League matches this season, and victory in the Champions League final would see them equal the all-time record of 12 by Real Madrid in 2001. In 2002. Last but not least, Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel is the first manager to reach the European Cup or Champions League final in consecutive seasons with different clubs, like Jay mentioned earlier. Tuchel, however, unfortunately, could be the third manager to lose it in a final in consecutive seasons after Marcelo Lippi in 1997-98 with Juventus and Hector Cooper in 01 and 2000 with Valencia. In his manager career, Pep Guardiola has lost more matches against Chelsea in all competitions than any other club. So that hopefully will be a good omen for Chelsea come Saturday. Jay, before we wrap up here, a little bit of a bold prediction that I want to hear what you have to say, but also the game and how you think it's going to play out, and maybe even a score prediction if you want to give one as well.
You know what? I won't swear because it's a very professional podcast, but I've been a miserable guy about this result, and my predictions have been less than inspiring. I'm going to be real. I don't know. My head is telling me it's going to be 2-0 Man City. My heart is telling me it's going to be 1-0 Chelsea. I really struggle to see City not scoring, and also Chelsea scoring 2 against Man City. Not sure how I feel about it. So that's kind of what my head and my heart are saying. To be honest, I'm going to be real. I genuinely don't care how the game plays out as long as Chelsea win. And that's me speaking as a fan. It's going to be cagey. Both sides have only one player each that have played in the Champions League final before. Chelsea, this is their third Champions League final. City, this is their first. So, you know, both teams inexperienced at this level, Chelsea more so, but no one in this team was there at the time. So almost redundant as a point. It's basically the squad's first time again. And it really is, it's going to be cagey. I don't imagine it to be particularly free scoring, particularly flamboyant. And it suits Chelsea that way. It suits Chelsea for it to be gritty and for it to be tough and to really work for it, because that just seems to be what they do. It's just about making sure that the players whose mentality has consistently been questioned over the last three seasons, and what Lampard said and what Sarri said, that this squad isn't ready to compete at the highest level because of their mentality. I'm hoping that those players turn up and leave everything on the pitch, because I'm going to be real, I don't really expect us to win. I very much hope that we win. Regardless of the result, I want every single player to have left everything on that pitch. And that's the bottom line, because that didn't happen against Leicester whatsoever. Whereas Leicester players did do that and they came out and won it. You saw it with Villarreal the night. Every single Villarreal player left everything on that pitch. And that's what pushes you into winning those games. You look at Chelsea in 2012, every player left everything on that pitch. And that's the best you can ask for, regardless of result. And that's exactly what I want to see from every single Chelsea player, because the chances that some of them will ever be there again are slim. So that's all I want to see. I hope they can gift the fans. I'm driving all the way from the north of England to the south of England tomorrow to watch the game with my dad and my brother, because obviously I don't live at home. And I'm just hoping for a good occasion and for us to come out on top, but I'm not so sure it'll go the sort of beautiful narrative way that I'd like it to.
I'm happy that you brought up the fact of if we do end up losing, I'm hoping that it's with every sweat and with every tear, with every player giving their 100% effort on that pitch from minute one to even minute 120 if we get to that stage. So I think the shout that there's not going to be a lot of goals in this game stands true. You just got to look at City's defensive stats. You have to look at Chelsea's defensive stats. They're both super solid, especially in a final, especially in the Champions League final. There hasn't been too many goals scored. I remember a shootout, and other than that 4-1 victory, which was an extra time with Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, and I think it was, 2016. So there's not a lot of goals usually score in these games, and I think both defenses will make that a point to hopefully not be the case once again tomorrow evening. Bold prediction for me, I said in the last edition, I think this game is going to go into extra time, but not penalties. And so my bold prediction for this episode would be that one player will get sent off. I think one player will have two yellow cards and they'll be sent off, or maybe one player will get one red card. So that's my two bold predictions. This game goes into extra time, but not penalties, and one player will be sent off because I think it's going to be pretty hostile and pretty cagey, like Jay mentioned earlier. But before we let you off the line, Jay, once again, thank you very much for joining the podcast once again today. Where can my listeners find you? Doing some great content work right now for Chelsea, but also on Twitter. And where can they find you on the social medias?
Follow me on Twitter, JJ McIntosh 5. I need to probably sort that name out, change it up a bit. But don't follow me. Go follow the Chelsea social. We're growing well. 16,500 followers. The website's smashing it. Everyone's doing great. The content creators over there, brilliant. Go and follow the Chelsea women's social.
Yeah,
that's now the as far as I'm aware, the biggest Chelsea women's fan platform on Twitter. Brilliant. So please do go and check it out. And yeah, don't worry about me, man. Just make sure they're subscribed to your podcast, following you, doing what they've got to do. And if you're listening to this podcast, Jay, and you're in the car, go somewhere busy and turn it up really loud and tell everyone to listen to it. Go and show everyone and just get involved, because Shane, man, you're killing it. It's frustrating because I think I'm quite young to be doing all the content stuff and doing bits and bobs, and you're way younger than me. So you're going to the top, man. So it's great to be on.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for those kind words, Jay. It really means a lot to me and help you, how you helped me in my development. I really appreciate it. So thank you once again for joining me today on the podcast. As always, listeners, you guys can find the podcast and all the little snippets and previews and teasers, you may call them, on Instagram at Lad for Matthew Hardenstein. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Shane Holcomb 13. Once again, give the Chelsea social a subscription on YouTube as well, because they're doing some really great work on that platform as well. But once again, Jay, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Chelsea, next time I'm going to be recording on this podcast will be with Joe Tweedy. Hopefully it will be in a glorious, happy mood. But if not, we'll deal with it. We'll come back from it ever stronger, and we'll bring hopefully the greatest analysis that you could hear after a loss or a victory, hopefully. But once again, Jay, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Until next time, Chelsea fans, I'm out.